Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC coming up on tomorrow's show. A U.S. guard from the prison at Guantanamo Bay speaks out on our show. Also, what's right with the New York State budget? A lot to listen for every morning at 10 a.m. And we're hearing a lot about what America and Europe do not agree on the G20 summit today. Here's one big thing they do: the moral decrepitude of offshore tax havens, as referenced by British Prime Minister Gordon Brown here.
Our first test, I said, we must clean up the banking system, curb the use of tax havens, introduce principles for pay and bonuses, so instead of banks serving themselves, they serve the people. Our second task is that we must take the action necessary to prevent any suffering, as we've seen in the past, of mass long-term unemployment. And we must create and save more than 20 million jobs.
Now, coming up in about 15 minutes, we will have a rare U.S. media interview with the head of Germany's Green Party, the most influential Greens in the world, probably, with his take on the G20 suits and the G20 protesters. But first, let's talk about that point of agreement. Offshore tax havens, like garish corporate bonuses, tax evasion by the wealthy is suddenly not as tolerable as it once was, even if a crackdown won't fix the economy. Let's talk about it with Jonathan Guthrie, columnist for the Financial Times, and Lindley Browning, who's been writing about tax havens and the crackdown for the New York Times. Jonathan, Lindley, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Lindley, we all know that some Americans keep bank accounts in Switzerland and the Cayman Islands and things like that. But why is this an issue for the G20? Are Brits and Germans doing it too?
Brits and Germans are doing it too. Britain in particular has offshore tax havens. The Channel Islands and Guernsey come first and foremost to mind. And against that backdrop, it's somewhat ironic to see the statements coming out of Gordon Brown that these things must be cracked down upon. I'm considerably underwhelmed by the statements that and the news headlines that offshore banking secrecy and offshore tax evasion is coming to an end. I think the proof has yet to be found in the pudding.
Same question for you, Mr. Guthrie.
I would agree with Lindley that there is a degree of irony in seeing the British Prime Minister getting tough on this. He liked to be photographed with entrepreneurs who often used tax havens such as Monaco to reduce their tax burden in previous years. And there is an element here of finding a scapegoat for the economic woes that we have. That doesn't mean that cracking down on tax havens isn't a good thing. I think it is. But as Lindley says, there's a long way still to go. The statement we're likely to get from the G20 or the OECD is probably going to be a starting point for action rather than the end of it.
So, Jonathan, is the G20 going to come up with a specific policy or set of legal recommendations for countries to implement to crack down on tax havens?
What they will call for is for the exchange of information whereby, say, if you're a U.S. tax inspector, you can go in hot pursuit to a tax haven and find out about the financial affairs of someone that you have reason to believe is dodging tax illegally. What you really need to move towards in the end is an automatic exchange of information, which will mean that it will be a lot easier to identify people like that.
Lindley, what are the biggest tax havens for Americans?
Definitely Switzerland, definitely the Caribbean, the Cayman Islands. Those are really at the top of the list.
And there seem to be two categories here: legal tax havens and illegal tax havens. Help me sort this out. When is it legal to hide your money in an offshore account, and when is it not, Lindley?
Well, in this country, it's never legal to hide your money in an offshore account. You can keep your money offshore, but you still need to report your accounts to the IRS and pay any taxes owed.
But, Jonathan, your article in FT today makes some reference, some distinction between the two, correct?
Well, there's a difference between evasion and avoidance. Avoidance means using the law to reduce your tax bill. That could be quite a simple action on your part, say using tax allowances belonging to a member of your family, or it could be a very, very complicated transaction. A lot of those are organised out of the City of London, whereby a big company reduces its tax bill by shuffling money through a whole series of different offshore jurisdictions. And the British government's getting fed up with that. It's beginning to say that tax inspectors should be able to decide what is the right amount of tax for people to pay. That's a little bit worrying because it means that you're giving a lot of power to unelected officials rather than relying on the letter of the law.
Well, appointed officials, though, if I want to make the opposite case, appointed officials who are put into place by the officials the people have elected. But I wonder if you can tease out one of those areas, because I'm fascinated by this. You're telling me there are what you call legitimate tax avoidance strategies that companies use that somehow involve placing monies offshore. What would be an example of that if you can describe it simply enough for the radio?
Well, it would be, for example, if you had your headquarters in a very low tax jurisdiction and you had sufficient economic activity going on there to cut the amount of tax that you paid overall. But there is quite a lot of debate around those avoidance schemes, and there is a lot of debate about the use of banking secrecy in some of those havens. So there are a lot of grey areas here.
Right. Listeners, we have a few minutes for your calls on offshore tax havens. Good, bad, indifferent, outraged, overblown, distraction. What do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And for the tax haven criminals among you, you should know that the IRS offered an amnesty deal last week to offshore tax cheats who come clean without being caught. Reading from Forbes.com now, it says it wouldn't impose on confessors the stiffest civil penalty for failing to report an offshore account. It would be 50% of the account's balance for each year a taxpayer fails to file the required disclosure form. That's the current penalty. Instead, the IRS will in most cases demand just 20% of the account's highest single balance in the past 6 years if they come clean. Lindley, do you think that'll bring a lot of people out of the shadows?
I think it may bring some people out of the shadows. It's not clear that the IRS knows where this is going to go. They were very intent on not repeating the debacle of a few years back of a global settlement initiative involving a credit card evasion offshore. That did not bring a lot of people in and did not bring a lot of money in. One thing that's interesting in this IRS proposal from last week that significantly lowers a lot of the penalties and fines is that while it does give 6 months to offshore banking clients to come forward and come clean, there's a just very important deadline of June 30th, at least in the United States, by which clients with offshore accounts must file certain disclosures known as FBARs. That would basically out their holdings. So we can call it a 6 month amnesty. It's actually a lot shorter than that. With UBS in particular having turned over some client names and under extensive legal pressure to turn over many more, it behooves people to come clean to the IRS before the IRS finds you, because if it's the latter, you're likely to be in a lot more trouble.
Where's Congress on this? I mean, if they get so outraged about amnesty for people coming into this country illegally, how about for Americans hiding their money outside the country illegally?
Well, there have been various bills that basically die before being signed into law designed to combat offshore tax abuse. The most notable one that is being revived and may stand the greatest chance is from Senator Carl Levin, a Democrat from Michigan, and it has the full support of Obama. So we'll have to see how that works. The basic fact, though, is this. People who hide money offshore are off the radar screen of the IRS. The IRS knows those people are out there, but it doesn't know who they are and who those accounts are. So unless people voluntarily come forward and out themselves, or unless they're in a small basket of names turned over by banks, or unless their names show up through various other civil and criminal proceedings, it's pretty hard for the IRS to keep track of them.
Jim in Morristown. Jim in Morristown, you're on WNYC.
I think one of these tax havens, at least, is a British colony, and it seems anomalous. I wonder if the U.S. government has taken this up with the British government, because it seems anomalous that Britain should be a tax haven for Americans.
And, which British colony are you referring to?
What were the tax havens then?
Cayman Islands? Is Cayman owned by the Brits? I should know that, but I don't. Jonathan Guthrie?
Yeah, I think that's one of our dependencies. I mean, just to try and clarify, there are a whole lot of UK dependencies which sit within the British state but are semi-autonomous. Most of those have agreed with the OECD to exchange information, so they're pretty much in the clear. The jurisdictions that are likely to be in trouble are more likely to be places like Monaco. There's likely to be a blacklist published today from the G20. But as I understand it, Lindley can probably fill me in on this, Delaware also is quite a useful tax haven. Is that right, Lindley?
I think that's an extremely legitimate point, and it's one that's being taken up increasingly by Swiss elected officials, by other European elected officials. It's a legitimate point.
You mean that's why so many of our credit card statements and things like that come from Delaware, and I think the other one is South Dakota, right, that have different taxes on banks than the rest of the country? Is that correct?
Well, Nevada and Utah are also up there.
Uh-huh.
But
right.
Delaware, in terms of sort of off-the-shelf corporate registrations, definitely tops the list.
Georgina in Manhattan says she has an example of legal offshore shelters. Hi, Georgina.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank
there
you.
Are legal structures, such as rabbi trusts, where people defer income and so forth. But in that situation, ultimately, you have to pay up to the IRS. But what I'm really greatly concerned about is a whole host of people who claim to not be U.S. citizens, who live here slightly less than half of the year, and never pay full taxes here in the U.S. or even in New York State, but are property owners, for example. It's rampant.
So, Lindley, what might Congress do about them or do about any of these people?
I think regarding people who live less than 183 days here in this country and theoretically don't pay taxes, those people are really a smaller bucket of fish to fry. The people that the IRS is concerned about and should be concerned about are U.S. citizens, foreign nationals who have dual citizenship, have 7, 8, 9 figures, in some cases 10-figure accounts, overseas, offshore, undeclared to the IRS. They're not paying taxes. That's a chunk of change that's not getting paid into federal coffers.
Last thing, and we have the head of the German Green Party standing by for our next interview, a rare U.S. media appearance by this very interesting person. Some people call him the Barack Obama of Germany because he's the first person of Turkish descent, the biggest minority in Germany, to make it to parliament and make it to head of a party. So we're going to hear a green perspective on the G20 in a minute. But this offshore tax haven outrage, I mean, if they get all the money that's hiding out there, it'll hardly fund the Citigroup or the AIG bailouts, never mind the national debt. Do you think this issue is more important to the country, Jonathan, than its dollar value? Or is this populist anger skewing our priorities?
I think it needs doing. It's good that it's happening, partly in response to the credit crunch. But as you say, there are far, far bigger economic issues to grapple with.
And Lindley, same question, and then we're done.
Well, there's actually quite amount of money hidden offshore. The estimates range from over $7 trillion to upwards of $10 to $11 trillion with a T. So any of that comes back in substantial quantities would definitely be a boost to any national budget.
And there we leave it on offshore tax havens, one of the points of agreement at the G20 summit. And we have been talking about it with Lindley Browning, who's been writing about this for the New York Times, and Jonathan Guthrie, columnist for the Financial Times. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and there's a lot more that they're disagreeing about in London at the G20, including whether there should be an international regulator that could reach into banks in the U.S. and Germany and elsewhere with regulatory powers. We'll talk to the head of the German Green Party about that and more in a minute.